Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And you can listen to us, of course, on AM 1220. Also, if you're in the Cleveland area, you can follow. You can listen on 96.9 FM if you're in the Cleveland area. It doesn't get much out of the Cleveland area, but so you got your choice, 1220 AM or 96.9 FM. We're glad to have you with us today, and let's go ahead and open our program with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray, bless the program. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody today. Help us to point people to Christ, and we just pray, use the program for your glory, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you today, and I hope you're having a good day today. It's spring, but you wouldn't have known it this morning looking at the snow coming down down in Richfield. At one point, we had great big huge flakes coming down and thought I was going to have to scrape the windows of my car before coming up here, but fortunately, it was wet enough that the wipers were able to take care of everything. So, but that's to be expected in Northeast Ohio this time of year. Again, reminder, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. I'm the host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can follow us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can even go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And on some programs we actually have it live streaming, but not on Friday afternoon. Just don't have enough time to get everything set up in the studio to do that. But on Sunday nights, our Sunday night program, we do. And of course, it's a reminder too, you can listen to us every Sunday night at 11 o'clock from 11 until midnight. And that's every Sunday night right here on AM 1220, The Word, or also on 96.9 FM. And just a reminder, too, so we are a live program. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here today with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you here today. And also a reminder that if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, not only can you listen to learn more about us, you can listen to some previous programs that are there, as well as some other materials and things that we have there. Also linked to the homepage for our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And speaking of that, just want to thank everybody that helped out for our Pi Fellowship last Sunday. We had a great time. We had a number of visitors. We had some of our listeners come out to visit, and it was nice seeing, meeting you. And it was really good. We had all kind of different variety of pies there, and good fellowship, just an enjoyable afternoon. So, but invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. We'll have more information at the end of the program, but we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, which is located at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's in Richfield. That's northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross. And we have a Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. It's an informal Bible study where you bring questions. It's just like we do on the radio, where you bring questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and we just have a time of fellowship, and we have refreshments and different things available while we're there. And certainly invite you to come out if you've got nothing to do tonight or you're interested in learning more about the Bible. We invite you to come out. And also on Sunday, we meet at the same location, the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and Sunday morning, of course, we have our Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock, and then our morning worship service, church service at 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the book of Philippians on Sunday mornings in our 11 o'clock service. And then Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, I am currently preaching through the book of Malachi during our Sunday evening service, and certainly invite you to come out and visit us. All right, well, we're going to look at a couple of things here today, and it's been an interesting week, some of the things that have been going on this past week, and I just wanted to highlight a couple things real quick. One is the Ohio Heartbeat Bill, Senate Bill 23, of course, has passed the Senate. It's now in the House, and there's going to be a hearing on it this Tuesday. They already had the sponsor hearing, and the proponent hearing is going to be this Tuesday, and it seems to be doing well. So pray for that this Tuesday, and I believe it's in the afternoon when the hearings are going to start. Pray that things will go well, that it'll soon pass the committee, and that it'll be on to floor vote in the House, and then on to Governor DeWine's desk. He's promised to sign it. He has restated his promise to sign it, and that he's looking forward to signing it. So Ohio will join one of several states that are all passing similar legislation. People say, well, what if it goes to the courts, like Governor Kasich was afraid that it would go, and he always vetoed it because it wouldn't hold up in the courts. Well, you never know until it gets to the courts. And I might add, the courts are changing. One of the reasons that I voted for President Trump was his promise to put constitutionalists on the federal courts and on the U.S. Supreme Court, and a promise that he has been keeping. And he has already put more judges on the federal courts than any other president since Franklin Delano Roosevelt did. And he's done it in about 2 years' time. And in addition to that, he has placed two people on the Supreme Court, and he has altered the balance of the Supreme Court first time since the 1930s. It is a court that leans to the constitutionalist or the originalist position. In other words, people who read the Constitution and believe that it says it means what it says, and as opposed to those who believe that it's a living document that should be open for interpretation by the times in which we live, which actually translates to meaning for the interpretation of the opinions of the person looking at it. That's how we got same-sex marriage authorized in this country. That's how we got abortion on demand authorized in this country. That's how we got the Bible and prayer kicked out of public schools through the originalists and many other things that they've done. And so now we're seeing the effects of that. And so it may be that if the Ohio's heartbeat bill gets passed, and it and or others go to the courts, that the changing nature of the courts going back to a more originalist position may uphold the heartbeat bill. Because, you know, if you look at the Constitution and what it's based on, it's based on our Declaration of Independence. That is the founding document of this country, and it talks about all of us having inalienable or unalienable rights, and amongst that's the pursuit of life, or what was it, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And life is identified right there, and people say, well, we don't know when life begins. Well, if there's any doubt, why would you try to kill or take the chance of ending a life? Well, obviously you are ending a life with abortion, because if it wasn't alive, there would be no need for the abortion, because it would already be dead. So it's either alive or it's not dead. It's not part alive and part dead. It's alive. And so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that issue right now, but also wanted to mention another thing here, exciting development. President Donald Trump announced Thursday that the United States, and this is just yesterday, that the United States officially recognizes Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. And this is exciting. It's a significant change in policy in our country towards Israel. I believe God will bless us for this. This goes against international rulings in the UN and things like that. And Trump tweeted this. He said, after 52 years, it is time for the United States to fully recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which is of critical strategic and security importance to the state of Israel and regional stability. This is exciting. Prime Minister of Israel Benjamin Netanyahu applauded the move, and he said, at a time when Iran seeks to use Syria as a platform to destroy Israel, President Trump boldly recognizes Israeli sovereignty in the Golan Heights. Thank you, President Trump. That was the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. So this is exciting. What people don't understand is the Golan Heights, called the Golan Heights because it's up higher than the rest of the area there. It overlooks much of northern Israel, and it's a strategic area. It's very strategic. Israel captured that region from Syria during the Six-Day War in 1967. They formally annexed it in 1981. And until President Trump's announcement, the United States and the international community have considered the Golan Heights to be occupied Syrian territory. Now, if it wasn't occupied by the Israelis, the Syrians and also Hezbollah and the Iranians, Hezbollah is an arm of the Iranians, would have weapons up on the Golan Heights, where they would have an unrestricted access or view down over much of the northern portion of Israel, where they would be able to rain artillery shells down on them, rocket attacks, any number of things. And Israel would be in a very precarious situation indeed. They need the Golan Heights for their security. Israel is a state that's surrounded by people that want to destroy it. And it's good. God said at least four times in the Old Testament, basically, that he would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And so the United States State Department has erased the phrase Israeli occupied from the Golan Heights section, now calling it Israeli controlled. And that's a huge step. The Israeli Defense Forces spokesman Jonathan Conricus said, anybody that cares about regional stability should be concerned about the fact that Hezbollah is trying to build a terror network on our doorstep. We will continue to use all means, overt and covert, to block Iran's effort to use Syria, Lebanon, and Gaza as forward bases for attacking Israel. And this is exciting. And even Senator Lindsey Graham, he had toured the Golan Heights earlier this month, and he had pledged at the time to push for the United States to recognize Israel's sovereignty over the area. He said, the Golan is not disputed. It is in the hands of Israel and will always remain in the hands of Israel. So this is exciting to see the United States taking stronger stance, backing Israel and standing up for Israel and their national security in the faces of enemies. Iran, not the only one, but one of the chiefest of them, who are pledged to destroy the Jewish state. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy calling in this afternoon. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. That is indeed good news that, President Trump did regarding Israel. And but today I wanted to comment on James 1:5.
All right, James chapter 1, verse 5, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And then it goes on. So since I can't talk to God directly except through prayer, I'm going to call you God's representative. So I'm going to ask you your opinion, and this is a political question or comment. I've had, you know, I run into liberals occasionally that are fairly peaceful. I mean, I can debate with them peacefully. They're not insulting or name-calling. And every one of them, and I want to know if this is true because I can't find any proof of it, they all say that the Republicans are trying to raise Medicare, and how could you possibly stay in a party that wants to raise Medicare fees? Is there any truth to that? I can't find any evidence of that. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not as familiar with whether or not they're trying to raise Medicare fees, although make a couple comments here real quick. There really is a distinction between liberal and leftist. We tend to use the terms interchangeably, but in reality, many people and many things that we call liberal today are really leftist. And in fact, a lot of classic liberals are against the leftist positions as well. But what I was going to say with that, you know, here, if you're going to look at a difference between the two parties, between the Republicans and the Democrats, for instance, you know, we had, who's the guy that from Texas that was just here, he wants to run for president in the Democrat Party, Beto O'Rourke. You know, very odd sort of person who was a member of a computer hacker group when he was younger called the Cult of the Dead Cow, wrote stories about how enjoyable it was to drive his car and hit teenagers walking along the road and hear them crunching on the car. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then when he lost to Ted Cruz in his bid for senator, he went down someplace in Mexico to eat sacred dirt, literally ate dirt, brought some back for some other people to eat as well. Yeah, he's just a weird guy. But weirdness aside, he was here in the area, and then he went over, I believe, to Pennsylvania. And I think it was in Pennsylvania he was asked if he supported legislation that would call for the preservation or the helping a child that's born when a baby is born, when an abortion is not successful and the baby is born. Would he support legislation calling for the protection of that baby that has been born? You know, and he said, well, you know, that's up to the mother and the doctor to decide whether that baby should live or not. After all, it's her body. And immediately my thought, two reactions to that immediately. Yeah, one was, okay, I don't agree with it because it's never the woman's body. It's a distinct, separate individual, different genetic DNA than the mother, different genetically. It's just within the mother's body. But when it's out of the mother's body, there's no way you can say that's the mother's body. The mother's over here on the table. The baby's over there on another table. Or tray or whatever, how can you say that's her body over there and then it's up to her whether or not it should be allowed to live? That's just stupidity. That's absolute ignorance.
That's infanticide.
Yeah, it's infanticide, but I'm just saying the idea of saying that's the mother's body after the child has been born and it's laying over in another area completely physically separate and unconnected to the mother to say, that's the mother's body. What's stupidity? But yeah, infanticide. When he said that, he was greeted with uproarious shouts and cheers of joy that he said that. What kind of people are in that party that would shout excitedly like somebody, you know, scored a touchdown in a football game or the winning point in a basketball game? Why would somebody shout excitedly over that? Is that the kind of party that these people want to be associated with? And then they say, oh, the Republicans, and I don't know that they are or aren't, but let's just for the sake of argument say that they are going to raise these payments. So which morally is more reprehensible? Raising payments for some service or mm-hmm. cheering over infanticide.
Right.
And
right.
and I picked that issue because Beto O'Rourke's not alone in that. You of course had the Virginia governor that that made that comment, and he was greeted with support, and you had other Democrats saying the same thing. So So whether or not somebody's talking about raising Medicare payments, you know, how does that even begin to compare to infanticide, an endorsement of infanticide?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And
yeah.
then people try to say, how can you be a member of a party that would raise money for a service? Well, how can they be a member of a party that cheers infanticide and, you know, and stands for same-sex marriage? And we could go on and on, but I just picked that one because it's so graphic.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the moral equivalence between raising money for a service versus killing living human babies. But, you know, the sad thing is for some people, killing human babies is less of a moral problem than raising money for a service.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really good point. I'm going to use that as a response. But like you said, there's a difference, and I know Dennis Prager talks about this all the time, difference between leftists and liberals.
Yeah.
And the leftists are the really extreme ones. And, you know, a lot of liberals, they're halfway rational.
Yeah.
But they are definitely victims of the lamestream media.
Oh, yeah.
Quite often.
Yeah, in fact,
it's almost like they're naive and they don't want to look into anything else other than what the mainstream media, you know, broadcasts.
Yeah,
but the left, they're just evil. Everything that they
they've left good sense behind. They've left God behind. They've left common sense behind. I was going to say I saw a graph one time, and to think of the difference between liberalism and conservatism and leftism and right, you know, the left and right. If you think about it on a graph, you know, with the axis, you know, one going left or right, other one going up and down. And let's say the up and down axis, you had liberal on one side and conservative on the other, you know, and then on the left-right one, you had the right position on the right and the left position on the left. And so different groups would be, you know, somewhere along on that graph, you know, somewhat toward the liberal or conservative side, and then somewhat toward the right or the left side, you know, to where they would really go into one of those quadrants as opposed to just being on a straight line between right and left and or liberal and conservative. So it's kind of interesting to think about it. Situations get a little complicated, but we're running out of time here. I was going to go back to your verse there, James 1:5, you know, where it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And that's something I encourage everybody to do. If you know Christ is your Savior and you want wisdom, well, right here it is. You can go to God and you can simply say, Lord, you said if I lack wisdom, I'm to ask you. And I encourage people to do that. I remember when I rededicated my life to the Lord, I was standing in a bookstore, the Pilgrim Bookstore in Bedford, England, and in the town where John Bunyan lived when he was in prison and wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And I'm looking at this wall of books in the Pilgrim Bookstore, and I'm thinking to myself, how do I know what is good? And so I just began praying that God would give me wisdom. And what I like about this verse, he does use the word liberal in here. He said, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. And this is not talking in the political sense. This is in the sense of generously, bountifully. Uh-huh. You know, like when you ask for a helping of something and they serve you a bountiful helping, you know, a bigger helping. They're serving it liberally as opposed to a tiny little bit. And he says he wants to give liberally, which means generously, bountifully. And then it says, and upbraideth not, which means he's not going to rebuke you and say, what are you doing asking for that? Why are you asking for wisdom?
Okay.
And then it says, and it shall be given him, not might, shall. And so I encourage people, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And of course, it goes without saying, you must be born again in order for this to work. But Amen. Nancy, thanks for the call, and keep out there engaged with people and talking with them and challenging people, and pray for Ohio's heartbeat bill, Senate Bill 23. We're out of time. Oh. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.